every person that preaches the gospel, they have a reason for the lessons that they give. And so they look up subjects that they believe that will get a message across to the hearers concerning God's word. I too have an agenda when it comes to teaching God's word. When I first started preaching, the subject that I taught on was about death. Because when I learned what the gospel was saying, we better be prepared for death. We better not play around with God's word. And as I continued, I kept looking at the way the world is and the disregard that they have for God's word. I continued to preach on those subjects that some people may consider negative. But the reason why I do it is, if you do not pay attention to God's word, you're going to pay the consequences later. God could have been a God in which he would not have given us anything at all. And so when we died and came before him, he would ask, why didn't you do this or why didn't you do that? And of course, if you don't have the answers, how can you be saved? But God has given unto us everything that pertains to life and godliness. He's told us what to do and what not to do. So now, if you're told what to do and you disregard it and you get caught, what do you think the consequences are going to be? And so as long as I am able to preach, that's what I'm going to be doing, showing you the things in God's word in which he has told people what to do and what not to do and the consequences of what happened to them. So when we come before God, there will not be any excuse, I did not know. And so, my lesson is entitled, The Power of God's Word. Now, most of us who are Christians and accept the Word of God, we understand and we know God is all-powerful, because the first scriptures, it says, God created the heavens and the earth. That's power. That is power. And we all seem to say, I believe in God, but yet and still, when he tells us things to do, we don't do it. But remember, when he tells you what to do and you don't do it, you will be held accountable. And that's what I want to try to get across to you today and every time I have an opportunity to preach. Now, this particular scripture, it's one of interest. Amos is saying, and we've been studying the Old Testament and the minor prophets, and I want you to think about what we're going to be reading here. Behold, the days come, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. God is going to cause people to not want to pay attention to the word of God. Now, why would that be? Because they don't want to hear it. God is providing all kinds of ways for man to know about him, but man refused to do it. So he says, but this famine is going to be hearing of the word of God. Now, as Jeff was telling us this morning in Bible class, and it's one that I've always thought was great, God says, he that has ears, let him hear. You close your ears if you want to. You don't pay attention to God's word if you want to. The consequences is going to be something that you're not going to like. You know, it's interesting when you playing around with PowerPoint, it looks so good when you're sitting down at your computer and everything is working. And then when you get in front of public, it just don't want to act right. What we want to look at today is what the Holy Scriptures reveals about the will of God. We want to see that God's word is powerful. And we want to find out what can we learn from the word of God. You know, there's a lot of people in this world today, they believe in God, but they have never opened up his word. We want to look at a little bit about creation. There's two types of creation. One is physical. And we see in Hebrews 11:3, it says, by faith, we understand that the world has been framed by the word of God, so that what is seen has not been made without things which appear. Now, this really, if you think about it, only applies to Christians. Because the scientific world, they don't believe that. If you watch the History Channel, they are still searching for the beginning of the world. I've heard at one time they said that they had this telescope and it heard this sound, and this sound is the ending of the Big Bang Theory. And people want to believe all of that. But God says, by faith, we Christians understand the world has been framed by the word of God. That's what the Christian believes. But the world does not believe that. All of us know this. We teach our children. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was waste and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Check this out. God said, let there be light. And how long did it take for light to show up? Did it take him a month to build it? Did it take 1,000 years? The Bible says, and there was light. And if you continue to read in Genesis, everything God said, let there be, it was. So that should tell all of us that the words of God is powerful. And if we are to believe that, then that means we must, beyond a shadow of a doubt, accept what he's saying. Because if we don't, we're going to be in trouble. You know, most of us in here, we either are worker bees or we are supervisors and all of this other stuff. And we understand the fact about if we tell people what to do and they don't do it, what the consequences are. We know that. So if we understand that in the physical realm, why don't we understand it in that spiritual? When God gives us a command, why don't we jump to it? You know, like there was an old saying that I had learned a long time ago. It said, if I tell you to jump, you jump and say, how high? And you hold it until I say, come back. Well, I think that's what we got to do with God's word. When he tells us, we don't second guess him. We don't ask, why do I have to do this? It is the spirit that gives life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I have spoken unto you are spirit. Or, now I looked at that in my computer, it says are life. Now somebody I think could have messed up. But are life. And we know there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And the Spirit is life. The words is life. And so we need to know spiritually, we have to conform to God's rules. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, most of us, we have been in here and we've had many, many, many Bible studies, and we have talked about God's word, and we're going through the Old Testament. Have you found anything that God has told the people of that time and the people of this time that is false? That will really say if we did it, it's going to get us in trouble? No. He has said everything there is to keep us out of trouble. God does not want anybody to perish. But yet and still, we neglect and reject God's word. You know, God has the power to keep us from harm. But it only works if we obey. You know, there is a stop sign out there, and we all understand what it means. Stop. If we ignore that stop sign, what do you think is going to happen? God tells us something. Withal shall a young man cleanse his ways by taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart I have sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. If we reject, again, God's words, we will be in trouble. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. You know, if we all put the words of God in our heart and we lived them every day and we never sidestepped them, we'd never have any problems. But for some reason, we sometimes say, well, it really don't mean that. I can do this or I can do that. But one day we're going to face the judge. And when we face that judge, you better hope you've been hitting the mark. Because if you have not been hitting the mark, you will be in trouble. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt not be priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Again, through our study of the Old Testament, we have seen time after time after time that God has told his people what to do. They rejected him, and so he rejected them. They went into captivity. They died. But when they did right, he came back. But when they messed up, he went away. We need to pay attention to all of this, because when we forsake the Lord, when we decide that, you know, I don't have to worship God the way he says, then he's going to forget about us. Serving God is not a joke. God's word, and all of us who are Christians can understand this. Somebody taught us the gospel. Somebody was not afraid to confront us and teach us the gospel, because it says, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And everybody in here that say they're a Christian, we believe the words of God. But he says here, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, everybody that will ever step foot on this world, if we teach them the gospel and they believe, they will be saved. But now there's a little more to being saved than just believing. You got to do some work. We'll talk about that later on. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. We talked about this two-edged sword here this morning. The History Channel have a program on about in the times of biblical times and the weaponry of the different civilizations. And one of them, they talked about this two-edged sword. And they said there was a group of people that just had one edge on it. But somebody invented a two-edged sword. And they said the purpose was you get them this way and you get them that way. And then everybody else, I would imagine, did the same thing, because it's effective. And it says that's how God's word is. It pierces all the way to the soul. God don't want nobody to perish. He wants us to be saved. And he gives us these warnings. He tells us these things. But you know, we reject him because we think we know better. And we will find out one day. Wherefore, lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Now, you know, we as Christians, we came out of a world in which was sinful. We was part of an organization that, yes, there were some good folks, but most of the time it was filthy. We talked about the Nickelodeons. And we are told here to put that off. As a Christian, we became somebody new. This somebody new is to follow the rules of whatever we got into. It says, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. You know, if we put God's word in us and we live it, we will never do anything wrong, because we're trusting in his word, and his word will never let us down. But you know, when we start acting like the world, we're getting away from the way God wants us to be. And if you stay in the world too long, and you die, you will be in trouble. We're not going to get into all the scripture because we're going to see it again, but the part that I want you to try to tell yourself and other people is that God's word has the power of condemnation. We're told here, we know this scripture by heart. It says we are to go into the world, we are to preach the gospel. As we preach this gospel, people are either going to believe or they're going to be disbelieve. If you don't believe, you will be damned or you will be lost. It's as simple as that. God's word don't leave any leeway. Either you do or you don't. And there's a lot of people in this world that they don't believe in what God's word says. An example. God's word tells us what to do. And say we don't do this, and our brothers and sisters come and they go ahead and they keep hopping. God said, God said, God said. Now, the most logical thing to do is say, yep, he says it, I'm going to do it. But what happens? They don't want to hear it no more, so they leave. God has a way of weeding out those that do not want to keep his commandments. And that's by telling them what they ought to do, and they says, no, I'm not going to do it. So they leave. Think of everybody that has left the congregation where you were. And when you try to go to them and bring them back, think about the excuses they have given. Why they can't worship here. Who is the problem? And on and on and on. Now, do you think when they leave wherever, they find another congregation to go worship the Lord faithfully? No. They go someplace else to where they can do whatever they want. That's how God weeds us out. He tells us to do something. We don't believe it. And so we're going to quit God. And we think we're hurting God. Now that just does not make any sense to me, that you are going to hurt God. I tell some folks when I meet them, and they think I'm joking, but I'm serious as a heart attack. I tell them, if I ruled the world, if I was totally in control of the world, a lot of people would be in trouble. Because you better do what I say, because if you don't, I'm going to get you. And so I wind up saying, I am so glad I'm not in trouble. I'm not in charge. But God is. He is a faithful God. He is a righteous God. You repent of the things you're doing wrong, you're back in good grace with him. But as far as man, we're completely different. It says, he that rejects me and receive not my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father who sent me, he gave me a commandment that what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak thereof, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. This is Jesus the Christ. If he has the confidence in God, why don't we? If he says he gave me a commandment, when we have those commandments, why don't we do it? But I want you to remember, this same Jesus is the one that's going to judge us when God say it's time to bring this world to an end. And when we come before him, we better make sure that we have done everything that he has told us to do. And if we have fallen short and have not repented, I say there's no hope. But as long as you repent, and this is one when I first learned about it, it scared me. Because what it said to me, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of these things which are written in the books, according to their works. If your name is not in the book of life, it was your fault. Because you chose not to do those things that God has said done. And in this world, we have so many denominations, so many people that's worshiping God, but it's not according to his word. And if you're honest, will those people be saved in that condition? The answer is no. I heard something the other day that I thought was interesting. There was a young man that was in the band that I was driving, and he was talking, they were talking religion, and he said he's a Jew. Now, he's down here at Kiowa learning how to do different things, and he said, and I hope I don't mess it up too much, he said that he will forego the Sabbath to get the knowledge that Kira is going to offer him for his job. In other words, if he had a chance of going to worship God his way, or going to Kira to make a few bucks and to learn a trade, and I think he's a baker, he would take that than serving God. And see, that's the problem with us today. We will forego serving God for other means. We don't do that. We should serve God and then go take care of those other means. But there's people that's putting God last. And if you put God last, he's not going to appreciate that, because he tells us, first of all, he says, I am a jealous God. And he don't want nobody coming before him. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from sin. And really, the way that is done is he tells us what to do, we do it, we don't sin, and we are cleansed from our sin. Before I learned a lot of things about the Bible, I thought it was difficult to be a Christian. I was wondering, man, can I do that? This is hard. And I looked at the old people. I said, wow, it's easy for them to obey God. You know, they went through this and they went through that. No, we all better obey God. But it is easier when we get older. We don't have as many temptations. We don't have many things to prove. So it's easy if we, as we get older, to totally put everything we have into serving God, because we also realize we don't have too much longer before we go meet him. So I might as well go out there and serve him with everything I got. But the Bible tells us about youth. You know, we got a future in front of us. Sometimes that future is not pretty. But we say, I said this, when I get older, I'm going to serve God. Not knowing that in between I could have died. And if I would have died, I would have had to confront God and I would have been lost. And so we see here John 17:17, it says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The Bible is our Redeemer. Remember that? Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst of water, but the hearing of the Lord. Now here's something that I thought about. Is we see this particular scripture is talking about a famine of the Word of God. And there's a lot of people out there starving. We can say we are in the middle of a famine. You remember when Christ was coming into Jerusalem and he looked over and he said the field was white with harvest. But there's not many people that's willing to go out there and do something. We better do something. We better be the ones that want to serve God. So, will you help to feed people the Word of God? Will you tell those people that you know that do not know the Word of God, will you make time to try to get through to them, here's what God says. Here's what you got to do. Are you willing to do that? What are you going to do with the Bible? You're going to just keep it in your house, open it up every so often, read a little bit about it, and don't share what the message is saying? You better not. You better not, because our job is to go out there and share the Word of God with people. Now, I too said a long time ago, well, how do I do this? What am I going to say? And you know, every Sunday in most congregations, you hear the things that you ought to do to get the gospel to people. And you hear, of course, they have to hear, just like we had to hear. You had to hear something that made sense to you. So we tell them about the gospel. We know that scripture. Starting off with verse 16, though, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Elijah, Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes. Verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words into all the ends of the world. God's word has been out there. But, example, how does your spouse believe that you love them? Now, granted, you could give them all kinds of luxury. But they want to hear those little old words, I love you. And if you say it convincingly, they're going to believe it. It's the same thing with the Word of God. If we say what it says and the people are convinced this is the truth, they're going to believe it. They're going to believe what the Bible says. This is another translation. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, okay? But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went to all the earth and their words into all the ends of the earth. I got a few different translations that says certain things. And it depending on the translation, it makes it easier to understand. And you just look at it and let your brain digest the different ones, and I will say something when I have to. They have to believe. Okay, we went with this scripture. It's one that everybody here in this congregation that studies the Bible understands. If you don't believe it, you will be lost. I like these translation here. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to the whole creation, he that believeth. Okay, 15 says, and Jesus said, so wherever you go in the world, tell everyone the good news. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Now, we have quite a few ex-military people here and a few that are still active duty. We know folks at Charleston get deployed all over. Like Travis there, for example. He said he will be deployed. Now, is he supposed to keep the gospel to himself when he goes somewhere? Is he going to not look for that opportunity? What little I know of him, I don't believe so. When you see an opportunity, he's going to share God's word with somebody wherever he goes. That's the same thing with us. Wherever we go, job related, you name it, if the opportunity approaches, we are to use it. Repent. The times of ignorance, we remember hearing that in certain scriptures, but now, God overlooked the times when people didn't know any better. But now he commands everyone everywhere to turn to him and change the way they think and act. That's what it's all about. We must change from the sinner to the saint. Confess. What do we have to confess? That Jesus is the Son of God. You got to convince people that this is what you got to confess. That Jesus Christ, because if you don't believe Jesus is the Christ, you're not going to do what he says. And of course, you got to be baptized. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. Clearly, all of you who were baptized in Christ's name have clothed yourself with Christ. 1 Peter 3:20. They are like those who disobeyed God long ago in the days of Noah, when God waited patiently while Noah built the ship, or the ark, something that floated. In this ship, a few people, 8 in all, were saved by water. Baptism, which is like that water, now saves you. Baptism doesn't save by removing dirt from the body. Rather, baptism is a requisite to God for a clear conscience. It saves you through Jesus Christ, who came back from death to life. And you know, if God never said anything about water, it's the changing of the mind. But he wanted us to at least get wet once. So he said, get baptized. And if we do that, then we have listened to what he says. Be baptized, wash away your sin, calling on his name. And then we got to remain faithful. You know, it's not just, I've done this, now that I'm a Christian, everything is fine. We saw earlier about commandments. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will obey my commandments. This is something that we got to do. It's not just, okay, I'll do whatever I want. James says, you see that a person receives God's approval because of what he does, not only because of what he believes. Know ye not that to whom ye present yourself as a servant unto obedience, his servant ye are whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. So one way or the other, you are going to obey somebody. My point is this: why be lost? Why jeopardize your life to be lost when all you got to do is obey God and you be a happier person? That don't mean things is going to become easy for you, but that means that God is on your side, and when death comes to you, you won't have anything to fear. I remember a long time ago, again, before I knew anything, I was afraid to die. But you know, if you do what God wants, you know you're going to die. So why not serve God? And when it comes, you will hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." The choice is yours. Obey God or disobey Him. But remember, there will be an eternity in which you will be asking yourselves, "Why didn't I listen?" So if there's anything that you need from this congregation, whether it's the prayers, a help, you name it, whatever it is, we ask that you make it known as we stand and sing.